Yo, what's going on? It is 1 p.m. here in Crystal Lake, Illinois. That means it's time for another live stream. Today is Tuesday, April 9th, 2024. Today we've got a really big show lined up for you. We're going to do some trivia, some London Marathon trivia. Last week we did Boston Marathon trivia. This week we'll do London Marathon trivia because I'm traveling and then I won't be another live stream before the London Marathon. This is the last Tuesday live stream before the London Marathon. So I figured we'd do that today. Plus, we did get a new shoe in yesterday, but I didn't have my scale with me. So we're going to get the scale out, measure it, weigh it, and then add it to the spreadsheet. Plus, if we still have time even after that, we'll get to this new package that I got from Rabbit, which I think that you guys are going to be really interested to see. If we have time, I got to leave a little bit early today because I'm getting interviewed at 2 o'clock and then I have someone that I'm interviewing. So just got a lot of stuff going on today and we'll try to get to it all. We'll see what we can get to. But first, let's say hi to everyone listening on the audio only version on the podcast. Sorry if the Eclipse episode wasn't the most engaging audio only episode. I think there was a lot of me just kind of staring at the images of the eclipse. So maybe that wasn't a great one, but I feel like today we're gonna make up for it. This trivia is gonna be pretty good. I don't wanna oversell it. It's gonna be trivia today, it'll be fun. So hopefully you'll enjoy it more. And then for everyone else watching later, but not live, this is your last reminder. Hopefully you are working on your taxes if you're not already done with them. This is a reminder. This is a great time to be doing taxes. You have this window open on one part of your screen. You get your taxes on the other part of the screen, or maybe you got multi-monitor set up. This is a great way to do that. You're in the right spot for that reminder. Tax time for those of you in the United States, it's coming up. All right, let's see who we got in the chat. All right, we got Sean Devlin says, "Hey, Cobo's Run Club, ran an easy 5 this morning. My body's loving the taper. Just walking around is pain-free for the first time in months. This is what normal feels like, I guess." Well, I'm glad to hear that, Sean. And Koala Blue says, "Hi, Ko. I like the new thumbnail photo. No more thoughts of winter." I've been using the AI tool on StreamYard. I don't know that I like it, but at least it puts the title in the thumbnail. I wish that there were more kind of like wacky options. It's AI, so I feel like it should go a little bit harder, but you know, I guess it is better than like the default that I had been using. All right. And Eliza says, "Hi, CoFam. I saw people were stuck in traffic for 8 hours while leaving Eclipse watching areas." Yeah, I just feel like I heard about that too. I was driving somewhere. I think I was going to pick up my daughter from track practice. And I was listening to the radio on the way over there. And they were saying that I-65 was all jammed up because everyone decided to leave Indianapolis at the same time to come back to Chicago. And I was like, I mean, I get it. Not everyone can make a day of it. Maybe you're hoping you can get back in time to pick up your kids or something. But that probably wouldn't even work. It's too far away. But maybe you just needed to get back. I get it. But I'm also just like, you know, there's restaurants and stuff. There's things to do in Indy. You could have just hung out and let the traffic kind of like work its way through, had a more enjoyable time, and then gone. I also wonder if anyone left early. They're like, all right, the moment it left totality, they're like, I got to get out of here. I got to beat the traffic. I bet you there were. I mean, it's the Midwest, right? I anticipate that like half of the people that drove somewhere to watch the eclipse probably left moments after totality. Just they're like, we got to beat the traffic, right? I don't know. PG1980 says, "Heiko, are you doing London Marathon?" I am. We'll have a bunch more London Marathon stuff coming up. Yesterday, I filmed a coaching wrap-up talk and race plan talk with Coach Sage and Coach Sandy. So that'll be coming up, I think, this week. I'm not sure. I've got like a bunch of videos that I've kind of like, I'm filming and getting ready, and then I'll edit them and release them over the course of my travels the next 2 to 3 weeks. And so it'll come out at some point. It's either going to be like Thursday or maybe a week from Thursday after Boston. I'm not sure which one. But one of the two. 102. And yeah, I'll be there. And for those of you, I'll be posting out final details soon. I think I just got the assets today that I can post. But there will be a shakeout on Saturday, 11 a.m. with Soar. Unless that's changed. Whatever the assets say, that's the correct time. All right. Let's see. Mina Willis says, I got a half marathon PR on Sunday and finally able to get under 2 hours. Must have been due to wearing my Kafuzi non-elite hat. There you go. There you go, Mina. Congratulations. And Aaron's Basement had a 46-second 10-miler PR at Cherry Blossom. Nice work. And Calvin says, you know, beating traffic is a Midwest staple. I know. I know. And Sean says that the classic dad move is to start the car once the totality hits. You just, you hit the key fob, you get the engine started, you know? And Leona says, the London Marathon start times are a bit late. Are they? I haven't even looked at any of that. I've only just started thinking about how am I even going to get to the starting line. But I'm thinking, I'm going with destination marathons, and I haven't really looked much into it, but I'm assuming that there'll be some sort of help or shuttle, or at least info. I don't know. I'm so bad. I travel a lot, but I'm such a bad traveler. I do a lot of figuring out in the time after the plane lands and I can turn my cellular back on again. And when I get the baggage claim, I figure out a lot in that amount of time. I don't figure that stuff out ahead of time for some reason. I don't know why. All right. Matthias Venta says, this is called the ALE theory, A-L-E theory, always leave early. and Leona says that Andy FOD runner starting just a little after 10 a.m. Oh, it's an after 10 a.m. start? Oh, boy. I can't imagine that I'm starting anytime before him. So I am in green wave one. I'll be with Marcus. So Marcus will be there. Tommy's in green wave. So no, Tommy's in red. I'm in green. Marcus is in green. Tommy's in red. So we're gonna try to find each other at some point. And Alf wants to know, has Mrs. Co been downstairs? The shelf is looking tidy today. No, she has. She doesn't come down here. But I did. I filmed 2 videos today, and so I just put back a bunch of shoes. So that might be why. And Alf says I'm volunteering on bag drop from 7 a.m. to noon. Oh, okay, all right. Hopefully, I'll see you there. That'll be fun. All right. And Jen Runs Triangle says, a 10-minute, almost 11-minute PR at Cherry Blossom 10-miler and almost a 5K PR the day before. So awesome weekend in DC. And too bad 10 miles is not TS PR eligible. Ooh, that stinks. But congratulations on 10 minutes. All right. And Leona says, Andy is in blue wave one. Oh, okay. All right. All right. Let's get to the trivia for today. Should we do that? I have to actually look up some of the answers. Where did I find the answers? I forget where I find the answers for this. Is it this? I'm not sure if it's this. Hold on. I'm looking for something now, guys. I got back really, really late, and so I had to kind of figure some other things out at the last minute for trivia for today. Where did I put it? It was in... Where did it go? All right. Well, I don't remember where I found the answers to this. It was a London Marathon media guide, but it wasn't in a place that I would expect to find it. Let's see if I remember the answers to these questions. Okay. Let's start with question number one. Are you guys ready for some trivia? London Marathon trivia? All right. Number one, first question. Who are the fastest Britons to run in London? So what would be like the British record for Britons? Like, I guess it'd be a record for Britons at the London Marathon. You can give me either the men or the women. I vaguely remember the times. So I'm not even positive on the time. So you just can give me a name. If you can give me a year that they ran it, that'd be even better. Why don't you just tell me what movie you want to see? Mark Peterson says, the first trivia question is, where are the answers in Coast Computer? See, I found it on my iPad upstairs. And for whatever reason, that iPad doesn't sync with my MacBook down here in terms of which things I've been looking at. And so it's not in my history. So I don't know where it is. All right. But man, you guys got this right away. Jet down illustrator. I said, Josh Kerr. I feel like Josh Kerr could probably run a pretty fast marathon. He ran a really fast half marathon and he did it in Hyperion Elite Fours. So I feel like he could run a fast marathon, you know, but you guys got it right away. Stevie 76 had Mo Farah has the male Briton record at 205 and change. And Richard Wilson had Paula Radcliffe has the female Briton record. And by Briton, I mean B-I-R-I-T-O-N. I believe her time is a 2:19. So I feel like that is the times for fastest Brits running the London Marathon. So there we go. That Paula Radcliffe, that time, that's an aggressive time. No wonder it stayed out there for so long. Vanessa Martinez says, "I want Philly. I want her to be fastest. Wouldn't that be great? I'm definitely rooting for that." And Jay-Z says Benny Hill. Oh, but only if you play the music, you know. That's funny. All right. Jay-Z says Benny Hill ran at warp speed, but just not sure you covered the distance. Maybe he has to do the what is it, the Great North Half, that one? Maybe he has to do that one. all right. Louis says, are there going to be any Harry Potter questions? There are not going to be any Harry Potter questions. I'm debating whether or not... does anyone know, speaking of that, how long it would take to be like in London? Well, I mean, I guess that's not very specific. But like, how easy is it to get to the platform 9 3/4? Is that hard? Is that really out of the way? Is that a huge tourist trap? Is it worth going to? I feel like if I were there with my daughter or daughters, I'd go. They got a real kick out of like the Harry Potter store in New York when we went over the new year. I think they would enjoy seeing that. But would they enjoy seeing a picture of me at the platform 9 3/4? I'm not sure. Calvin says it's a tourist trap for sure. Maybe. All right, let's get to question number two for today. We talked in the Boston Marathon trivia last week about how much does 10th place win in terms of prize money. Now, from what I could find, London Marathon hasn't, or at least in the page that I saw, which was a London Marathon page, they didn't list out like what each place would earn, but they did list what the winners would earn. How much money does the winner earn? And good news, men and women each earn the same amount. How much does the winner of the London Marathon earn? Let's see. While you are... Frank Lewler says it's 4 stones sterling. I don't even know if that makes sense, but it sounds very funny in British. And you know what's interesting? The number is a nice round number, and it was listed in dollars. So I don't know if there's a different media guide if you're in the UK versus if you're in the United States or what. But it was listed in dollars. All right. Rich Dizon says it's 150,000 GBP. What is it? Great Britain pounds. CB76 says 2 quids. Eliza had the exact correct answer. $30,000 each for the winner, men and women. It seems like a really small amount, right? That doesn't seem like a small amount to you guys? Even if there were pounds, still seems like a small amount. I feel like Chicago Marathon's like 100. Boston Marathon's like 100. And then 30,000 for a London Marathon? Just doesn't seem like a lot of money. I don't know. Yeah, Gender on the Triangle says, a London Marathon prize money in dollars? It sounds sus. And Calvin Hong says, that's too small. It is too small. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't know. Yeah. But I got to find this page for you guys just to make sure. Because I feel like otherwise you guys aren't going to believe me. It wasn't in participant information. Where was it? I'm trying to figure out. Where would I looked up London Media. Oh, I looked at Media Resources. Here we go. Oh, here we go. Now I found the awards and bonuses. So, oh, wait. No, it's... Hey, this number is different. Okay. We have to change the number because now there's a different number that's showing me on a different page. Okay. Oh, it goes all the way up to the 12th place. But it's still listed in dollars. Should I share this with you guys? I feel like I should share this with you guys. I think we need to take a look at this. All right. This is weird because there was another page that said $30,000 for the winner. I swear. But here we go. This is what it says. It says that the men only race, the first place is 55,000 and women, same thing. It looks like it's the same. So for the men, it's 55,000 and 12th place gets $1,000. A cool grand for 12th. And if you run under a 204, oh, that's $50,000 bonus. Wow, crazy. I mean, not that that's like easy by any means, but man, you could win. Wow, they could be giving out a lot of money on this race. That's crazy. All right, so there we go. There we go. Still in dollars though. Still feels sus. But let me see if I can find the other page that showed the other thing that I was looking at. Maybe it's this one? No, I gotta find it. Just so you know that I'm not making it up. Where did I put that? Oh, it was in Essential Facts. Yeah, so here. So here's this page that I found. I'm gonna share this with you guys because that way you guys will know. Here. So here's where the fastest Brits in London came. 2005, Mo Farah, right? No, 2019, Mo Farah running a 2:05. Paul Radcliffe running a 2:15. Oh, not 2:19. 2:15 in 2003. It's even more wild. But look, in the prize money section, it says winners, men and women, $30,000. See, isn't that weird? Weird. Okay, I don't know why it's like that, but it is. So there we go. But that's wrong. So now we know that too. Okay, CB76 says there's facts and then there are essential facts. Yeah, and TJ Bryce says the time bonuses are interesting. I mean, I didn't know that London Marathon had time bonuses. I want to say that I did, but I'm pretty sure I didn't. I knew there would be like record bonuses, but I didn't know there were just time bonuses. That's pretty wild. And then let's go back to the awards and bonuses page. Yeah, and $55,000 is still pretty low. But you know what? It's pretty cool. Pushrim also gets $55,000 for first place. So it's good to see. Equitable all the way around. All right, let's get to question number 3 for today. We've gone over fastest Brits. Now let's do, how old was the youngest ever London Marathon champion? Britain or no, of all ages for champions, men's or women's. I don't know if this statistic includes Pushrim or not, but let's go with men and women's. How old was the youngest winner of the London Marathon? Now I got to go find that other page again. I remember, but you know, just since I got it here, since I found it, I'm going to go look it up. I'm not accidentally sharing it, am I? Okay. All right. Let's see. Yeah, Stevie76 says Earth Years. Yes, Earth Years. Frank says 19. Daniel Estrella says 24. Another vote for 19 from Mark Peterson. Steve Zabrowski and Shannon say 22. The correct answer is, in fact, 22. The youngest winner of the London Marathon was Sammy Wanjiru from Kenya. In 2009, he was 22 years old and just barely beat out the youngest winner for women, Yelimzer Yehwalau from Ethiopia. Who won in 2022? I don't even remember that. She was 23 years old. So there we go. While we're looking at this, I don't think these are the questions. I don't think I use any of these facts for questions later, but while we're looking at this, we could see that the oldest finisher, all comers finisher, was 93 years old. Fauja Singh in 2004. Ooh, 93 years old. I have to be running for another 39 years for a crack at that. I don't know. I don't think I could do that. That's crazy. All right. Next question. Question four. All right. We had a lot of discussion this year about lotteries and stuff. All right. I had this. And how many people got rejected from the London Marathon lottery? How many people actually entered the lottery, though? Do we have there is an official exact number. Oh, boy. Now I got to go find it. It's also on this page somewhere. Oh, no. It's on a different page. It's on... I got to look all over for this. Where is it? The London Marathon Media Guide. Media Resources. It's a totally different page. It's in the press releases. Do we know how many ballots there were? Okay, Eliza says there were 60,000 ballots. No, way more than that. Mark Peterson thinks 243,000 ballots to get into London Marathon. Cobalt Blue says 150. Jen Runs Triangle is close with 440. Steve Zabrowski says, let's go with 558. And that is really, really close. But the official number for people that were in the London Marathon ballot was 578,374. And that beat the previous world record, also set by London Marathon in 2019, of 457,000. So that smashed the record by like 120,000. By like almost 20%, 25%. 578,000 people for like 40,000 spots. That is bonkers. Bonkers, bonkers, bonkers. Man. TJ Bryce says, dang, that's insane. It's great. Jen Runs Triangle says, sheesh. Yeah. And Jen Runs Triangle says, and now the New York City Marathon is not looking so bad. Yeah. I can't believe it. That's way more than I thought. I don't know why. I don't know what I thought it would be, but it's more than I thought. Man. Lala P says, where are all these runners at? I never see anyone out on my runs. Calvin says, they definitely need a lifetime spots limit. I feel like that's something I would like to see that at some point and for some of these majors. I don't know that we ever will. I have a feeling that marathoning will ebb and flow in terms of its popularity, just like jogging was huge in the 70s with Frank Shorter, and it will never come to that. It's a problem that will end up solving itself in a way that doesn't really work out well in the long run for marathons. But I'm not saying that they're going to go away, but I don't think that the London Marathon is going to continue seeing 500,000 applicants every year if this continues. But but one other trivia fact, this will be a bonus trivia fact for you guys today, is let me clear this so it doesn't sound like a question. I'll make a bonus question right now since I already know the answer. All right, we'll save that one for later. It's coming up, okay? But in the meantime, let's get to question number five. Question five. What's the most amount of money ever raised by single charity runner? What's the most amount ever raised by single charity runner? All right, now I got to get back to my other page here. Essential facts. It's in the essential facts section. Hopefully no one's cheating, but you know, here's where it is. Okay, I've got it. And I'll tell you the answer is in pounds. So that gives you any help. You know what? Alf Dickinson does mention, and I've started to see a lot of people talk about this. Manchester Marathon is on the same day next year. So you go to the north rather than the south. Is that the right way to put it? I think you go north rather than south. You can run on the same day. You can train with the same people. You know, you do different shakeout runs. It's just that last weekend that would be different, you know. All right. Steve Zabrowski thinks 852,000. And remember, we're talking about pounds. GBPs, I guess. We're talking about pounds here. Shannon thinks $1.2 million, which I think is the same as Steve Zabrowski's 852,000 pounds. Brendan Vasquez also thinking 1.2 million. US runner thinks 9 million. Can you imagine one person raising 9 million pounds? Whoa. Well, Louis says 1 million pounds. The correct answer is the most ever raised by a single runner. I'll just show you the answer since we got it here. Is Steve Chalk raised 2.3 million pounds in 2011. Is he a celebrity or something? Is he famous? There's got to be more story to that. I don't recognize the name, but maybe some of the Brits here can help me out. Who is Steve Chalk? How did he raise 2.3 million pounds? It's an unfathomable amount. I don't even understand it. You know what would be annoying? Good, but annoying. If Steve Chalk is just some sort of like oil baron, and he just donated 2.3 million of his own pounds just so he could be forever listed in the fact booklet for the London Marathon. I'm guessing that's not what it was. Calvin says that almost gets you into Boston. Dorothy says, what's that in dollars? I don't know. I guess we'd have to convert it to 2011 dollars. I'm not sure. Steve Zabrowski says it's a British minister, I believe. Is it? Oh, is that what? Okay. Well, that makes a little bit more sense. Yeah, I don't know. That's crazy. Yeah, Mina Wells says it's a Bolzer mind. It is. It's mind-blowing. And Frank says, doing the math for us, says, in 2011, 2.3 million pounds was closer to $5 million. Woo! Wow, $5 million. I can't imagine that. Man, that's like Mr. Beast level money. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't even make sense. All right, here's the bonus question. We're talking about lifetime finishers. How I think that people that have done a lot of streaking, I think that people that have like run a major marathon event, say like 10 times, is a lot. Maybe too many. Maybe they need a cooling off period. But then again, I don't know. It's like how many more, unless you're that 93-year-old Valja Singh, how many more do you got in you anyway? If you've been run streaking for a long time of a certain marathon race. But anyway, on that subject, here's a bonus question. How many people have run every single London Marathon? I think there's been 41. This one I think is 42, if I have my facts right. How many people have run every single one? Yeah, well, all we're talking about, Calvin thinks that running a race 10 times is probably enough, and then a cool down period of at least 5 years or something. I feel like let's do some brainstorming here, Calvin. Here's what you do. You treat it like a pit boss at a casino. If someone's really hot, you know what you do? You don't bar them from gambling anymore. But what you say is, you know what, maybe you'd like to go catch a show on the house. Maybe you want to go take a trip through our award-winning buffet, you know? Get them away from the table for a little bit if they're really hot, you know? So I think that's, I think that might be a better thing to do. Maybe like, you know, you get to be a parade marshal or a cheer captain or something like that. Give them like an, air quotes, important job somewhere on the sidelines that encourages them to not take the spot, but still be an active participant, because they clearly love the race. If you've run it 10 times, you clearly do, and no taking away from that. But maybe there's another job or role that we can have you fill is with your enthusiasm. You know, that's, I think. All right. So how many people have finished all of the London marathons? Mark says 3. Steve says 4. Lee and Jen Runs Triangle say 7. And that is a correct number. 7. Only men. It started in 1981. So I'm guessing women were allowed to run back then. But I'm guessing no women have run all of them. But they listed them out by name in the participant guide. Where is it in here? Is it in this one? Let me see. Somewhere in here. Yeah, 7 men run every London Marathon, 41 in total. There we go. All right. I think we are done sharing that screen. But that was fun. Thanks for playing trivia today, guys. All right. Next thing we're going to do, we got to keep it moving. We got to keep it moving because I got to get going kind of early today. Oh, boy. I left the... Hold on. We looked at the Under Armour. It's called the U-Velocity Elite. I was just calling it the Velocity Elite. Where did I put my scale? But the box says U-Velocity Elite 2. See, Under Armour, U-Velocity Elite. Where is it? There's Focus. U-Velocity Elite 2. All right, let's get it back out. We need to get the right shoe out here versus the left, since that's the one I always like to measure. And we gotta weigh it. We gotta figure out what this thing weighs. You know what I think is gonna be weird is one day I feel a feeling we're gonna have to replace the scale, and then we're gonna have to put asterisks by all these weights. But that's a problem for another day. Mark Peterson says, spreadsheet, spreadsheet, spreadsheet. I'm glad that you guys like this. All right. Why is the scale turning on? Okay, battery, scale's turning on. Let's get it zeroed. All right. I feel like this is a very, very light shoe. There's something about the way that this foam looks and feels that it kind of looks like a lot of the carbon-plated shoes that are coming out of China with the companies that I'm not familiar with, and they don't sell in the U.S., a lot of those. It's kind of giving me that vibe. But the weight, no, that can't possibly be the weight. That feels wrong. It says, all right, here we go. We gotta share the sheet. Let's share the sheet. No, this one. All right. Under Armour. U Velocity Elite 2. The weight is, I can't believe this is the weight. This feels wrong. 8.7 ounces. That's too heavy for a racing shoe. Let's get it to grams. It's 248 grams, 0 miles, right shoe, size 9, and this is a road shoe. Boy. It doesn't feel like it. I would have guessed low sevens. I would have guessed that this was lighter than like the Endorphin Pro 4. It feels lighter than it, but the scale doesn't lie. By the way, this insole is not removable. Okay. And it is a men's size 9. I'm shocked. All right. There we go. All right, here we go. Now it's time to make everybody mad. 8.7 goes right in front of the mountain to coast. I'll insert a row up there. Double tap, cut this row, and then insert it, paste. There we go. All right, Under Armour on the board with a surprising 8.7 ounces. There it is. Colin says, it's pretty heavy and will only look worse going forward. Wow, it's so negative. yeah, Shannon says, it's an impressively heavy shoe. Yeah. And Cosmic Pineapple Michael says, maybe the scale needs calibration. Yeah, I don't know. Are you guys going to make me buy a weight standard? Oh, man. Are we really doing that? Okay. Louis says, there's nothing inside the shoe. There was nothing inside the shoe. The shoe is just heavy. Calvin's so mad at the shoe. And they're charging $250. Good luck, UA. Ha ha. Oh, man. Yeah, and Mark Peterson says, wow, at 8.7 ounces. It's the opposite of what I thought you meant when you said you couldn't believe it. Yeah. And there, Elf Ticket said, they're big boys. They are big boys. All right, guys, I think we got time for it. So let's unbox another shoe. Should we do that? Just because I'm pretty excited about this, and I haven't seen anyone do an unboxing of the shoes from Rabbit yet. So here we go. I've never seen packaging like this from Rabbit before. Now, they've never done a shoe before, but like, I like this. I like what they've done here. And it's got a little tabby pole thing on the side. Ooh, you know what I think? I think it's not going to be a box in a box. It's just one box that is shippable, so it's not double box for shipping. I like that. Got a note in here from Rabbit. I'm like, here are our new Dream Chasers, so you can try them out ahead of Boston. Can't wait to see you there and hear what you think from the Rabbit crew. All right, thanks, guys. Don't forget, guys, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. That's the shakeout run at the Rabbit pop-up. And here it is. Oh, it says something in the box here, though. Hold on. Let's hear it for the dreamers. Rabbit is the free-spirited California running brand dedicated to performance and comfort. Like our award-winning apparel, our shoes are designed for chasing down every imaginable goal, from 5K to PR to a walk in the park. Dream Chaser was created to support you every step of the way. Okay. Oh, this feels softer than the shoe that I saw. So I saw an early version. Oh, let me show it to you guys first. Here you go. This is the Rabbit Dream Chaser. It is like a very, it's not knit, but it's kind of knit. It's a very comfortable material that they've chosen for the upper. A nice comfy heel flare. Look at these very big bumper pads in the back. So not a ton of padding, but just enough, I think, to keep the heel in place, make it comfy. And then this foam is just a lot squishier than I remember when I looked at the shoe in Austin. I'll be able to show you guys some of the footage that I actually shot in Austin now, because I could finally show you that. And then they've got these, I forget the word that they use for it, but there's these little two strips of carbon fiber that I think are going to help it as a shoe bends. Is that what it's for? And then there's little channels through here. Clouds almost. No, they're not clouds. It's just little channels underneath these carbon fiber plates. I wonder how these are going to hold up. Because like as I'm stepping on rocks and stuff, that's going to get on there. But there is a decent amount of rubber coverage around the perimeter of the shoe. Oh, and they've got, oh, look at that. Little Boston insole right there. And it's got a rabbit tag on the tongue. The tongue is gusseted in here. It's nice. And I like these, laces. Feels nice. All right. Should we see what it weighs? Oh, wait. not the most breathable shoe. There's a little TPU at the toe here. Not the most breathable. And it smells kind of like plastic. But there's nice stitching on here. All right. Let's see what it weighs. All right, we're zeroed out. Etienne says, taste test and spreadsheet, please. I do kind of want to see what this carbon fiber tastes like. Tastes like nothing. But it's kind of cool. It's like, it like flickers in the light. Like an old school hologram trading card. Okay. Wait time. All right. I feel like I knew the weight. So this number doesn't surprise me, but it is a little bit on the heavier side. Let's get the spreadsheet back out. All right. First entry from Rabbit. Okay, let's add it to the board. Rabbit, Dream Chaser. The ounces are. Let's get this mode. Okay. It is 10.5 ounces. So it's kind of like Adidas Daily Trainer weight territory. 300 grams, right? Size 9 for road. Okay. It's got a little notch in the back over here. Kind of reminds me of the notch that's in the back of like a Brooks kind of shoe. So, yeah, there were some guesses. Sean Dunn says, this live stream has some weird kinks. Whatever floats your boat, I guess. Yeah. Yeah, you guys had some guesses, but all of you guys guessed lower. You guys guessed ranges where I would have kind of preferred to have seen. Shannon says 9.3 ounces. Calvin says 9.1. Mark says 8.4, but it's 10.5. So it's a little bit on the heavy side. All right, we'll copy here. Command C, 10.5. Oh, puts it right above the Deckers Lab hiking shoes. So there we go. 10.5 rabbits on the board. I wish it were lighter. I wish it could have come in under 10 ounces. That would have been good. General Triangle says the scale batteries may need a refresh. It's just running off a power bank. I wish I'm gonna have to get a weight standard to make sure. And then, yeah, Matthew L176 says, would it be useful being so low to the ground? I worry about the carbon fiber cracking or snapping if it hits something hard and acts like a fulcrum. Yeah, I know. I mean, on the one hand, intuitively, I agree with you. On the other hand, like, carbon fiber is known for its resiliency. That's why you use it in like car parts. Not car parts, but like car panels and other components. At the same time, I do know that they had to do interesting things with the carbon fiber plate in the Puma Fast R1 and the Fast R2 because it had a big, giant, exposed piece of carbon fiber in the middle. Now, this looks very flexible to me. I mean, even just pushing on it, it seems flexible. So I don't feel like it's very, very rigid. But yeah. It's too bad I'm not outside. I could put it right on and do some hill sprints for you guys. And Calvin says, as long as it's comfy, but it's no workout shoe, it seems. I don't think it's supposed to be a workout shoe. I think it's supposed to be a daily trainer. So I think we're going to be okay. Someone had asked a question. If they're going to be... Shannon says, the heel flare resembles a mock. I could see that. I could see that for sure. And I think that makes sense in a lot of ways because of the not only geographic, let's get the spreadsheet out here, not only the geographic closeness of Rabbit and Hoka, but also they used to work together quite a bit. Rabbit used to make the first Hoka merch. Remember when the Hoka website had like a pair of shorts and a t-shirt? Like that was all made by Rabbit. If you look at it, if you still have some of that stuff, it probably has rabbit tags on the inside, you know. Sean Devlin wants to know if there's any poetry in here. Oh, you know what? There could be, since it's a Boston edition. But this is kind of pretty. No. This is the insole. I like that they put the Boston graphics on the inside of this one. I'm trying to remember what was on the insole for the ones that I saw. I do remember that I took it out, too, to look at it. It looks like, is there a plastic clip? Oh, I think there's just a reflective element back here. But this feels much, there's a lot of squeezing the Charmin today, but yeah. Cosmic Michael wants to know if this shoe says don't bleach, okay? It does not. It does not. Although, maybe there's a note in the box somewhere. No, instead they have just saying an environmental statement. Shoe can be used for storage, shipping, or returns. Things like that. Designed in Santa Barbara, thoughtfully made in China. That's all that's in the box. But I do like that it's one box for shipping and the shoe box, and not two, like a lot of times. Someone asked, I can't find the comment, if it's going to be available in Boston. I can get more detail for you. Here's what I remember off the top of my head. I don't know if there will be any available for sale. There might be some available for testing, but I'm not, I don't think there's going to be a lot. I don't think there's going to be a lot. I'm guessing that they're pretty annoyed about it. Like, I'm guessing they were hoping for an earlier delivery date so that way people could have bought them and had them to wear around in Boston. Cause I feel like this is going to be a really comfy all day wear shoe. All right. Terrence says it's on the website now. So can you buy it now? Oh, let's go see. Oh boy. I just did regular rabbit. You can't do regularrabbit.com. Okay. How do I share that screen? Oh, share this tab. Okay. Let's see if we can find it. We got Dream Chaser Collection. Here's the shoe. Okay. Here it is. Men's 160. That's kind of a lot. Or it could be. Flow State ETPU midsole foam. Blue Maca insole. It's supposed to last 10 times longer than the competitors. Is it made out of algae? Is that what I want to say? 32 millimeter stack height in the heel, 27 in the forefoot. For here, it says 8.5 to 9 ounces for the weight. That is very different than what I weighed mine in at. But I don't, can you buy it? Oh yeah, let me see. No, 9 is sold out. 9.5 is left. Some sizes are left. I don't know how fast they'll get to you guys though. But so some sizes are left. There you go. And Lalope says, do you know when another colorway release for us non-Bostoners? I've seen other colors. I don't know if that's like right after Boston that's coming out or if that's like another season from now. So I don't want to comment on what they were, but there will be other colors. But I do recall them telling me that this would be the launch color. I remember that. They didn't even let me put it on in Austin. So I'm excited to finally put it on. Lena said they would sell a lot if they had them available to buy in Boston. I'm hoping they do. Let me check in with Kevin. I don't know if he's listening today, but let me check in with Kevin to see if there's any available for purchase. But tomorrow I have a workout. But Thursday morning, before I head to Boston, I'll probably take these out for a run and see how they do. And then I'll make a reel about it and you guys can see it. I'll have to do it quick because once I'm working with Adidas this year And so one of like the terms of our working together is that I can only be in Adidas shoes. It's pretty much the only term that I have. I have there's certain events that they want me to attend. But the only term that I have is that I have to be in Adidas shoes the entire weekend. So I feel like I don't really want to post stuff about other shoes either, just to not make anybody mad. But I'll try to get something out, some thoughts on this shoe as soon as I can for you guys. Matthias says, what's the foam comprised of? It's ETPU. Is that what it said here? Yeah, ETPU foam. ETPU, is that the same thing that's in, what else is ETPU? Was fuel cell ETPU in previous years? Isn't that what the Atreyu race model is? I'm not sure. Video says, Ko, at this point, can you tell shoe if it's going to be good by trying on and walking? Not really. Maybe a little bit, but the shoe, like the prime example that I give is that, like, I feel like the Brooks Ghost feels like one of the most comfortable shoes just walking around in it. I love wearing that shoe casually, by the way. That's one of the videos that I shot today. But running in it is a little bit different than walking around in it. So I can't tell. And Adam says, does the E for ETPU stand like for E, like in e-bikes? I think it's for like either elastomeric or it's not enantiomeric. I think it's elastomer is what I think the ETPU stands for. I'm not sure though. I'm not good with the chemicals. SB says, can confirm. I bought a Ghost 15 last year from a walk test and I didn't like it for running at all. And Patrick Smith says, I'm always scared I'll get hurt trying new shoes. Do you ever feel that way with all that you review? Not usually, no. And a big part of that is because I've made it pretty clear to all the people that are sending me shoes that I don't want stability shoes. And those are really the only ones that I think I get very nervous about. The shoes that made me nervous when they came in so far this year were Glycerin 21. I ended up kind of liking it. That Mountain to Coast S1, that one looks very firm. I'm not sure I'm going to like that one. And then, those two shoes worried me when they came in. I want to say that the Forever Run also gave me a little bit of concern because of how much they talked about stability in it. But I ended up kind of liking that one. So yeah. All right. I think that's going to be a good place to leave it for today, guys. I will soon get these shoes on and take them for a run, and I'll let you guys know for sure what I think about them. It's softer than I was worried from what I remembered, but this makes me feel a lot better holding it in hand. I'll let you know what I think about this. To be honest, I don't know when I'm going to get to the Velocity Elite 2. I'm not going to have time to test it before London. And then after London, I'm going to be kind of out of commission in terms of testing racing shoes for a little bit. So we'll get to that one eventually as well, probably sometime over the summer, but we'll get there. Tomorrow we will have another live stream. Wednesday we'll have a live stream. Thursday we will not. So tomorrow will be the last live stream for almost 3 weeks, guys, because I'm going from Boston to London to Germany, and then I'll come back. So, yeah, it's going to be crazy. So tomorrow we might do a double unboxing just so I can get some packages unboxed for you guys. All right, so I'll see you tomorrow, 1 p.m. Central Time, last time for a long time. Hopefully I see you then. In the meantime, be safe out there. Thanks.